Matthew chapter 14. This church is going to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to accomplish greater things in the next 40 years than it ever dreamed of in its first 40. And the mission for everybody, young and old, is that your next years are greater served for the purpose of the gospel than your previous years. I want to honor the older people to tell you that there will be greater ministry opportunities here for you here in the next few years than there will ever have been before. We believe that with all our hearts. We're thankful for what God's going to do. We lay hold of it by faith that God's going to accomplish something big here. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be talked out of what I believe God wants to do here. I'm excited about what God's a good God. He's got, God help our days ahead to be better than our former days. I want to talk about faith this morning, a familiar passage we're all familiar with, I hope, I trust, Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. Before we turn there, I'm going to invite Micah to backtrack and put up the vision statement that we introduced last week. We want to again look at this statement and affirm that God is going to accomplish things here. And this is the vision that I have for the church. This is the vision that we've been talking about, and I've been talking about. I find it interesting. I haven't hidden what I believe from day one. The very first message I preached here before you all ever invited me back to this place, before I even candidated, the very first April 2014, I preached a message that I had the privilege to preach at Grace Baptist Church last Sunday night. And I told them, this is the exact same message I preached to a church that I felt God wanted to bless with new and great opportunities. I preached a message on the men that cared for their paralytic friend so much that they would tear down the ceiling. They weren't going to be hindered by lack of opportunity to go through the front door. They cared for their paralyzed friend. We've all been paralyzed at one point or another, spiritually speaking. These men weren't deterred by the obstacles. I said, we're going to get people to Jesus. If we have to go through the ceiling, we're going to get people to Jesus. That's good. We're not going to be talked out of it. Closed doors aren't going to stop us. We'll create new opportunities. Negative, we've never done it that way before mentality is not going to stop what we're trying to accomplish in the power and the name of Jesus. Never done it that way before. Well, we're doing it different. We're going to break down ceiling tiles, and we're bringing people to Jesus. I preached that message last week to a church that I said, find a pastor. They're without a pastor. As you find a pastor who's passionate about reaching people for Jesus. It's everything. Not about the way the ceiling ties. Not about all the other stuff's not important. Let's keep our eye on the prize. What's our mission? We're going to reach people for Jesus. We want to be a leading church. We want people in churches in our community to look to our church for how it's done, How do you honor God? We want to know, how are you growing? How is it that God's blessing you? We want to help churches, to empower churches to do what we're doing, and that's growing. That's the kind of church we want to be, a leading church. We're not in competition with other churches. We want to bless other churches. We want to lead other churches in the way that it ought to be done. We want to be a leading church in our community, modeling. How will we lead? We'll model Christ-likeness. We'll become disciples and follow Jesus. How are we going to lead our community? We're going to exemplify vibrant worship. Be it hymn, be it chorus. We're going to be passionate worshipers of Jesus. And we're going to show a genuine love of God first and foremost. Love God. We're not going to be talked out of loving God. We love God, and out of the immense love for God that we have, we'll birth forth ministry and service and love for our community. That's what we want to model. That's the vision statement. You need to memorize it. We're going to put it everywhere. We're going to get it printed and put it on the entryway when people are coming in. So there's no question about the kind of church we want to be. We want to be a leading church. We're not going to be behind anymore. We're going to lead. We're going to be Christ-like. We're going to love God, love neighbor. We're going to be vibrant in the worship of God. I'm not talking about just music. In the way that we worship God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. And then again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we'll come back. We'll worship on Sunday. I'm inviting you into that vision. It can't be accomplished without people, all ages, all different types. Well, that person's not like me. Great, it'd be boring if everybody was like you. Wouldn't that be boring? Be horrible. If everybody was like you, it would stink. Did that sound like a criticism? It wasn't. It was meant to say that we want to honor all the different personalities that God's given us in this place. And together, we come together for a vision and a mission. That was a rabbit trail. Now, Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk to just for a few minutes. We have a busy morning ahead of us. Talk for a few minutes. Verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and it was evening. He was there alone, Jesus, and the boat was already a long distance from land. It was battered by waves, for the wind was contrary. It was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is about 3 a.m, when most of us are fast asleep, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost." They cried in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Lord, as we open up your word today, We pray by the authority of the Spirit of God right now, with sincere belief that you want to accomplish something with the Word today. We pray that the Word will fall on hard ground and soft ground alike. God, you will break through and give us a passion and a vision to follow you in greater capacity. We lay hold of it now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great story. 3 a.m, these men, I'm not much for fishing. I'm not much for getting on boats. I like paddle boats. You know, where you get in and you paddle with the, you know, with the girls and you look at fish. That's as much as I care about. What I don't like is getting into deep ocean seas. And these men, without Jesus there, are going and a storm approaches. I certainly don't think this would be my cup of tea. And rightly, they're afraid. To compound their fear, at 3 a.m, they see what they think is a ghost walking on water. And God's word affirms that the disciples were terrified. Indeed, they were not just fearful on the inside. Their fear impacted their very words and their countenance. They were so fearful that they cried out in fear. I can imagine that everybody that day turned in their man card. A bunch of wimps crying out in fear. There's a ghost. I can imagine that later they laughed about it. We were all so wimpy. Not one of us was bold and with courage. Isn't that something? Must have been quite a sight. Dare I say, there aren't many group of 10, 11, 12 men out there that would all in unison cry out in fear. Must have been something. Jesus spoke to them. And he says, take courage. I imagine they heard his voice. And they became very aware that this Jesus that they served had powers that they did not understand. Take courage. I guess that if you see a man walking on water and he gives you the admonition to take courage, then you can say, you know, I think maybe I can trust this guy. Don't be afraid. Well, they heard his voice. I want to talk about the nature of faith. I want to talk about the nature of faith in ministry. I want to talk about taking your ministry to the next level. Saying, God, I want to accomplish greater things. I want to accomplish miraculous things. I don't want to get stuck when I become 90 years old and say, I didn't accomplish much for God. Would to God that we would say, I want more. I want God to use me in greater capacity. I want to step out in faith and do miraculous things for God. I'm not sure that there are many people in this room, with all respect, myself included, that are anything like Peter. I'll step out I'll do something miraculous. I'll accomplish something nobody else wants to. Everybody's holding on to the boat. And we read that Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. You know, part of faith in Jesus requires that you have a relationship with Jesus. He heard Jesus. He heard his voice. He knew it was Jesus. He said, if it's you, and I want to confirm this, if it's you, ask me to do this, but if it's not, don't. If it's Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to accomplish something for you. I want to do something bold, something unheard of. I'm going to walk on water. If it's not you, don't tell me. I have a feeling like Jesus and Peter had a good relationship, that Peter could trust Jesus with his life, with his very breath. He's going out on the water in the middle of a storm. Reckon you need to trust Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus to accomplish something like that? Oftentimes we try to accomplish things for God, or in despair we try to gin up our faith and say, God, I need you today. And we start begging God for things, but you've never talked to God before like this. You don't talk to God on a regular basis. What makes you think that Jesus is going to come through for you when you don't have a relationship with him? At the time you need him most, what makes you think that God wants to accomplish something for you when you don't talk to him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday? All of a sudden there's a crisis. God, I need faith. I need you. Relationship. Relationship is needed to have faith. And then we have the audacity to get embittered at God when he doesn't come through for you. What does God owe you? If we're going to be a church that has the faith to step out and do some things, we need a church that has a strong relationship with God. It's not enough to just kind of believe. I was thinking about this the other day. Faith to faith. God's word says in Romans that we're moving from faith to faith. That God is moving us from faith to faith. I always thought for years when I was a kid, I thought that that meant knowledge. God is moving us from a deeper knowledge and understanding of God to a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. No. God is moving you from a deeper, from one trust to a deeper kind of trust. I used to trust God with just this little part of my life, but now I trust God with a little bit more. And as I grow in my trust, in my faith, as I grow in my trust for God, I begin to give God a little bit more of my life. And before long, as I grow in my faith, as I grow in my trust in God, in my trust in the God of the universe, as I grow in that, I begin to give God more and more, to the point where, God, you have all of me. I trust you with my whole life. I trust you to the point that I'm no longer clinging on to this boat. I can let go. All the other guys are clinging on to the boat. No, I don't need to. I'm going to let go of the boat. I'm going to walk into something new. I'm going to walk into an experience where I have to depend on God, but I'm going to trust him to accomplish something big in my life. I wanted to honor Mark this morning because he's one of those kinds of guys that, consequently, I'm very intimidated by Mark, as well I should be. He's a big man. I remember when I first came here, I said, man, Mark, I don't know about this guy. I thought that to myself. I didn't say it to anybody. This guy's intimidating. You know what he is? But you know what he uses his gifts and his abilities at this church for small things, big things. I would say maybe there's not anybody that that does more unpaid staff that does more to accomplish the work of the ministry just because he just gives his time and energy into facility. We need more Marks. We need more people to say, I'm going to jump in. There's a need. And then beyond that, I'm going to give God more and more. I'm going to trust him that God's going to use me to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Oh, all the stuff we're talking about. We talk about the vision. We want to be a model church in this community, a leading church in this community, to the end that that we do so by being Christ-like in the way that we live. We do so by being vibrant in our worship. We love God and model a deep, devoted love for God and love for neighbor. Listen, that doesn't happen because we write that down somewhere on a wall and we all say, hey, that's great. We're all on the vision. It's accomplished by people in this room saying, I'm going to step up to accomplish something bigger for God. I'm not taking time off of ministry. I'm finding more ways to get into ministry. God needs my gifts and my abilities. Relationships important if you want to have the kind of faith that we're talking about. A kind of faith that says, God, I know I'm not perfect, but will you use me for something really great? Will you use me for something really great? There's a song that when we planted our church in North Carolina that ministered to me very much. I wish I could remember every lyric, but forgive me, I'll have to sing it a little bit to remember some of the words. I want to do something big for you. That song ministers to me. I got chill bumps thinking about that song. I want to do something great for you. That's taking your life and saying, I'm going to use it for mission. People that sit in the pews, a dime a dozen. Anybody can sit in a pew. We don't need pew sitters. We need workers, laborers for the harvest. Will you receive that this morning? The Spirit of God is calling us to be laborers. I love this passage, and I'm challenged by this passage because I'm seeing it from a different perspective this week. And I want to challenge you now in the last parts of this message to consider this passage maybe from a different perspective. God's word continues. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked out of the water and onto the water and came towards Jesus. What? Now, if you're the 11 other guys and you're watching Peter do this, I'm putting myself in this position. I'm thinking, well, why am I in the boat? I could have been the guy that jumped out into the water and allowed God to use me, but I'm in the boat holding on. How many people in this room are in the boat? How many people in this room are trying to get out of the boat and saying, God, I don't know, I might mess this up, but I need you. I'm not perfect today, but I need you, but I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. 10% of the church doing 90% of the work just won't work. You need to have a faith that God can use you to a greater capacity, and God will. I think this is interesting. God never stops. You need to write this down, and this needs to sink into your heart. God never stops the freedom of your faith. Peter said, God, if it's you, let me step out of the boat. Jesus did not say, how dare you ask me to do something as petty as that? I don't use my energy to let people just walk on water. God does not limit the freedom that you have to dream big dreams. If you have the faith to say, God, I want to accomplish this for you, then dream it. Dream it. God's not going to stop you and chastise you for having a big dream and a big vision. Dream big. Have big faith. We just don't see a big enough picture. We're not dreaming big enough dreams. This is where it gets tender on my heart. I will not hold back on my passionate. I've said this to many people. I have an unshaking belief that God is going to accomplish something in this house. You will not shake me from that belief. I believe it. It is why, if you don't mind my being candid, why I think we need to be good stewards of all the church and all the space that it affords us. Because I believe that God wants to accomplish something in this place, and God is going to grow this outside of the capacity of what we've seen for 40 years. I believe that with unshaking faith. And God is not chastising me up in heaven saying, oh, I can't believe you dare to dream that big. Oh, I dare. I dare to dream it. Dream with me.
Come on, that's good. That's great.
What is going to stop our church dead in its tracks is a lack of faith. I believe that 100%. It's going to be people that are in the boat, holding on, never doing anything. And what's going to grow our church and grow the capacity of our church is people that dare to dream. Say, God, I believe that you're going to accomplish something in my life bigger in my last 25 years than in the previous 50. I believe that God's going to accomplish something big in my life to advance the kingdom of God in Tiffin through this church. God does not chastise you for your faith. Will you admit that on paper it seems rather trivial that Peter would ask something of God as simple as to walk on water? Do you agree? But we've grown up in a theology that says, hold on, God's not going to bless that kind of prayer. That is so self-serving. That is so self-serving that you would ask God to let you walk on water. Jesus just doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
Right, that's good.
Jesus seems pretty intent to say, listen, if you want to dream and you want to trust in me and you want to believe in me, walk on water.
Come on, that's good.
You want to have the capacity and the faith to believe that you can be used of God in a great way? Well, just go on and do it. And God might just surprise you. And God just might show you how big a God he is on your behalf and accomplish something in this church through you. Am I getting a little too excited this morning? I just feel like I hear this side really excited. I'll just talk to these guys over here. Are you guys with me over here? You guys want to join along over on this side? Huh? Okay, let's get into this. So I was preaching to only half the church. Don't allow the enemy and your fear and the storm around you to limit what God is wanting to do in you and the faith capacity that you have to say, I believe that God can use me. Of course God will use you. He just needs somebody that's willing. It could have been any one of the 12 people that said, God, use me, use me. Ask me to step out of the water. Ask me to step out of the boat. I'll do it. And she said, for fine. Go ahead. If you can believe me for it, I will work on it and you will accomplish great things for Jesus. Oh, the storm is going to be great, and we'll have the capacity to say, hold on, big storm, and you start taking your eyes away from Jesus, and for sure, then you'll sink. You put your eyes right back on Jesus and say, God, I believe that you can accomplish something in my life. I have faith that you can use me for bigger and better things. I have faith that with just me, revival can come to this church. Don't bail on this church. God needs you here. All hands on deck. Now is not the time to go. Now is the time to rise up, children of God. God needs faithful people to dream big, to have faith that God's going to accomplish something here. Don't filter your vision that God's giving you. Don't filter your dreams out because of the circumstances. Believe in a big God. Ask for God to do something outrageous through you. Ask for God to do something outrageous in this church. How in the world can God accomplish all that? Oh, God wants to do it. God wants to do it. If we would just but dream and say, God, I have the faith to do something big. Jesus didn't say, I can't believe you're asking me for that. I can't believe you want to walk on water. Who do you think I am? He dares to do something big. And the only criticism that we see in this passage from Jesus is, O ye of little faith. The only thing Jesus is concerned with is that Peter didn't ask for even more. Can you hear me this morning? What Jesus is saying is, oh, he turned his eye off of Jesus. I kind of think that was tremendous faith on Peter's part. Do you? Oh, he got out of the boat in the middle of the storm at 3 at night with no chance that if something wrong happens, he's dead. Jesus says, oh, you want to dream big? Come out, walk to me. And he does it. Tremendous faith. Tremendous faith. He falters in his faith, but Jesus says, listen, the faith, your lack of faith was the big problem. Not that you have great faith. Not that you're asking something really big of me. That wasn't the problem. The problem is that there was more to do. When you need more faith. Relative to great faith, Peter had very small faith. Oh, I think that's too outrageous. I don't feel comfortable asking God to use me in that capacity. I can't do it. I'm it's just me. I mean, God knows all my faults. I can't be used of God in that way. I can't be VBS this, or I can't serve kids, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And the thing is that you can do all of it. And what's slowing you down is not the dreams and the vision and the faith that you have, but the lack of it. Is anybody here this morning? This morning I'm asking you to dream big. To have the capacity to say, I want to dream super big. I want God to use me. I need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I need to jump in and allow God to do something. I need you with me this morning. I need you to dream big about this church. I need you to have faith. I need you to trust that God is going to do something in this place through you and me. And if you will have the kind of unshaking, I tell Lucas, Lucas and I meet every week, and our families meet every week. We eat at least one meal together every week. A great relationship with what our dear friends. I'm shocked we're not moving forward. What do we have to do to move forward? I just feel like, why hasn't God done anything? It hasn't shaken my faith that God will. It hasn't shaken my faith that God will. God will accomplish great things in this place in Jesus' name. I believe it's going to take you to believe by faith that God will use you in incredible ways. And that means you'll need to get out of the boat. I'm not going anywhere. I'm holding on. I'm not going to allow God to use me. And I'm already serving enough. Serve more. Allow God to give you more time. Say, I don't have a lot of time. Well, give what you have to God, and God will restore the time that you've lost and give it back to you double. So I don't have time. I've got to stay in the boat. No. You don't have time not to get out of the boat. We don't have time. We've got a world that's lost and dying. Get out of the boat with me. Let's trust God for something big together. Trust that God will use you to accomplish great things, your gifts and abilities used in a great way in this church. We need you. Don't bail. Don't leave. Don't check out. More service, more capacity. Trust God. Honor God. Big dreams, big vision. You have a dream that God's giving you? Do you have a dream that God's giving you? You have a dream that you can see. Trust God for it and say, I'm going to trust that God's going to accomplish this in and through me for the glory of God. Dream big. Don't let the enemy talk you out of the dreams and the faith and the trust in God that he's given you. Do you receive the word today? Lord, we love you today. You're a good God. We love our church. We love this church. We entrust it into your care. We speak against the enemy that wants to rob people from this place. The people that are in this room, you placed in this room for your service. We bind the enemy that would seek to steal and destroy the unity in your house. Give us a bigger vision. Give us big dreams. Give us